All right, welcome to Sisters United with none other than your host. This is Queenie. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Keisha Roberson.
All right, we decided to switch it up, try something new, because I know that everybody wanted to see us live. We usually, we started to show off in the studio, you know, and everything, but oh, COVID, trying to play games. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess what? That we still here. You know, we ain't playing.
That's right.
All right, Keisha, what's going on with you? Are you, how you feeling today? Let's start there.
I'm feeling really well. I'm doing good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How's your week going? Now, Keisha makes the... Listen, my girl put the mask together. How are sales going and the creativity? Let's talk about it while we're getting everything geared up.
All right.
Talk about your mask. Talk about, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm doing our audio, trying to make sure we're together here. Good.
Can you hear me?
I can. Sounds okay. Really good.
Awesome.
I make these masks. It's really funny because I started off just, you know, going to make a few masks for my family and friends. You know, maybe some of the, you know, the elders at the church and, you know, things like that. And it has really turned into something. So most nights I'm up creating, trying to just think of different things to do. And Queenie, I still have your one of a kind. Yes, I do. But you can just I have them posted on my page, Keisha Roberson on Facebook. And if you have any questions, I make kid masks. I can mask your child, I can mask you. If you want your car to have a mask, I can mask it too.
Listen, and the way things going, that car gonna have to be masked up really, really soon. Really, really soon. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am very, very excited. I want to dive into a topic. I come with a topic. Keisha, what's on your mind today that you want to get into? What, just, you know, start us off today.
Well, I just want to kind of briefly just talk about these children going back to school.
Oh, my God.
All of this. I think that's the craziest thing. So they're letting felons out of the jails, but then they say it's okay for our children to go back to school.
Wow.
So I think, I don't know what to think about that. If it's not safe enough for a convicted felon to be in the jail, then why is it safe enough for my child to go back to school? You know, and I understand the social component of it all, you know, but the little ones especially, they put their hands in their mouth, they're going to be touching things. I don't think that it can be sanitized enough for a classroom of kindergartners or, you know, and then even the high schoolers, they sit right up on each other talking and, you know, things like that. I just think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's crazy. I didn't even think about it from the aspect you just said it. Y'all, you think it's too dangerous for prisoners to be all up on each other, so you letting some prisoners go. But you're going, and I was on my show with my sisters, with my biological sisters. We talked about this. Why use our children as experiments? And you know that children wipe their nose with their hand, touch all on stuff. I call them walking germs. It's not a negative thing. It's just that it's the truth, you know. Children are not that conscientious about what they touch, they don't care. They're next thing you know, they in their hair, they in their nose, they in their eyes, they chewing on their fingers, sucking their thumb. You know,
exactly.
So what in our minds is happening where we're saying, okay, okay, go, go ahead and put all of this together in a room. You get what I'm saying? I don't know. My hands go up. Welcome, Tammy. What's going on, girl? How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing excellent. How are you ladies doing?
Pretty good.
I like that smile.
Thank you.
Yes. We're talking about the children going back to school, putting all of these thousands of kids in a box and just.
Well, another thing about it too, is that they're thinking of, even your president, you know, he says, if children get it, they have what's equivalent to a sniffle. Okay, but what about their mamas? He said that.
He
said that, but what about their mamas they're going back to? And what about their, what about their other people, you know, that they'll be going back to? Whatever, they may only get a sniffle, but it may not be the same case for, you know, other people that, you know, in their families and different things that they encounter. Yeah. So I just think that it's really being downplayed too much.
It really is.
And then sending the kids back to school is really all about funds, and it's about money.
That's what I was saying. That's my point exactly. It's about money, and they're not going to let anything stop their money. You get what I'm saying? And we know that. Right. By the death toll today, by the cases today. Now they're trying to make it seem as though it's all on people not putting no mask and people leaving their homes. But let's be real. Y'all wanted to get that economy back up and running, you know, right. And it means necessary. So now I hear the mayor talking about $250 fines and stuff like this, people not wearing masks. But I mean, come on. We're being strict on people, you know, more strict on people in the grocery store than the schooling thing. What do they say? The children are our future. Right. Yeah. It's been children that have passed away due to COVID, but they are not, they're trying not to talk about that as much as they do elderly or people with pre-existing conditions and stuff like that. It's children that have passed away due to COVID.
But you know, they're gonna show things and fit things to help them spell out whatever their agenda is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's always an agenda. As always, somebody else's agenda. Hmm. The people with the money. I'll tell anybody, you look at anything that's going on in this world, follow the money trail. Follow the money trail.
Mm-hmm.
Money is the power, and the love of money is the root of all evil. So follow the money if you want to figure out what's going on and why people are doing certain things. My son has been homeschooled for the past all last year anyway. He was doing the K-12 program. Now my grandson wants to go back, but he's 18, so I don't step in the middle of that one. I allow him to make that judgment call, but my son is still going to be in the K-12 program because, you know, I have to take my legacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I understand that. Well, you know, my sister's, my mom has a Christian academy, and my nieces, because my children are grown, so my nieces are being homeschooled. They're being homeschooled. My sister is just straight against her children going back to any public type of school at all, you know. And my twin, she made this comment. She said, "Why would I send my children out to bring them back and kill everybody in the house?" And at first I was like, "Oh, that's extreme," but we have to look at it like that because. You don't know it's actually strong enough to handle COVID.
Right. You know?
And then you have some people who have that insurance that will cover them. I think they were talking about how some people were being cured. I forget. I don't want to give out the wrong information. But we'll come back to that another time. But we don't know whose system can handle this. You see what I'm saying? And I call it playing Russian roulette. When you go out without a mask, or you send your children to a heavy populated place, or you decide to go to a block party with 150 billion people, you know, it's like playing Russian roulette. You see what I'm saying? Hands up.
I'm all about the causes and stuff like that, but I ain't going to no protest. I might have two pennies I can rub together to send it away, maybe buy a couple of bottles of water, you know.
Come on.
I mean, it's dangerous enough going to the grocery store.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I have to go to the laundromat. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, so it's just no way. And I don't think that the children, like you say, should be the one put in a position to be used as, you know, pawns, because that's what they're being used as, pawns.
Yeah, and pawns, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's how I feel. I have a friend that works in healthcare, and, you know, and basically she said, you know, it's really real. You know, yeah. They're deciding who gets ventilators and who not going to get a ventilator and, you wow. know, who they going to let or whatever. So, I don't know. I say you better off at your house than trying to go in there, because you just never know.
You never know. You never know.
You never know who coming in the door. You coming in the side door, somebody else coming in the front, somebody else coming in the back. Who do they feel is most important?
And then another thing that I was thinking about with this whole COVID is we're saying wearing masks, but somebody was laughing at me because I said we don't open doors with our mouth. We don't open doors with our, you know what I'm saying? We open doors with our hands. Mm-hmm. Okay. So why are we not enforcing gloves as well?
Honey,
why
are we
not stay at home by all means. As soon as I finish and wrap up this radio show, because nobody is in my office with me. So I come to my office and I can do what I need to do. But you get what I'm saying? I got spray hand sanitizer. I spray on the doorknob before I touch it. You get what I'm saying? Got elbows. I got all kinds of stuff. And I was like, you know, we are enforcing masks. We really need to enforce both. We need to enforce gloves and we need to enforce the mask. But hey, you know.
But they don't even know what's going on, because it was something on TV the other day. And the question was, you know, can you get it through your eyes? So that means people call, you know, so you don't, I mean, it's so much that's not known because it's the first, you know, whatever. But yeah, I wear gloves.
Yeah.
I wear gloves, and I've created a nice mask as well that I can stick a face mask inside of.
So how about it?
Okay. Because, I mean, you just don't know.
Yes.
You just don't know.
Now, I want one of those.
You know, go ahead. I read someplace, and it made so much logical sense. They were saying that if COVID-19 is so contagious, why do we not have biohazardous drop-offs for these masks? They saying that we're reusing these masks, we're reusing gloves and all this kind of stuff, and we don't know enough about it. So if it's really so hazardous, why do we not have biohazardous drop off places? And I was like, you know what? That makes sense.
They really don't know.
Because they don't know enough about it. They're pulling at straws. I mean, it's just reality is this thing is so new. You know, some people say it's like a common cold. Some people are saying it's deadly. Some people are saying that, okay, if your immune system is not compromised, then you don't have to worry about it. And others are saying that, okay, the elderly population is the one who's getting hit. But, you know, kids are dying from it. But these got to be sickly children that have compromised immune systems and so forth. So, yeah. What really is it? You know, they're pulling at straws. Do they really truly know? This is the time, and I always revert back to it. This is the time that if you don't have no anchor, baby, you in trouble. Because, I mean, life is like this, okay? Be laying on flat land and an earthquake could be coming through, and I can kind of handle myself if the earthquake is coming through on flat land. But when you out there in the ocean, and that earthquake and that wind and all that kind of stuff is kicking up out there on that ocean, if you don't have a heavy anchor that hits the bottom of that ocean to keep you in place, you're in trouble. So where is your anchor? You better get your anchor, because the reality is they don't know. They're pulling at straws.
Yeah,
you know, they're winging it. You know, it's like, you know, walking in the dark time, you know, feeling around with your hands. They don't know. They really honestly don't know, but they have to make you seem like they know, because if they did not know anything, then you have a mass panic around, you know, the country, around the world and so forth. So they have to sit around and act like they know things but you don't know, you know, it's so many different variations to this thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I totally agree with you, you know. I pray for those, because it's a lot of people that are so scared that I even believe that when and if this lifts, they will never come out their house again. It's going to have to be to get people acclimated, like for real, back into functioning in society, socially. It's going to be very, very difficult to get people back active, to get people back, you know, out there moving around and doing what they need to do. And I'm not talking about people like I know a couple of people that have worked straight through this. So the actual impact of it hasn't really set in for them, whereas a person who has been like in New York, where they've been quarantined, they have been, you know, at home forever. You get what I'm saying? They've been quarantined since the beginning. You know, Texas not as strict as it is in New York. You get what I'm saying? Or maybe other places that was hit real, real hard. You get what I'm saying? So I think it's going to be a major, major thing when this lifts and people have to get right back into society. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult.
I believe, because right now, so with this homeschooling, it's not the same. They're not doing the same thing they did last, you know, from March until now. My daughter actually has to be logged on like she's at school from 7:30 in the morning to 3:00 in the evening.
Mm.
You know, and so I'm telling her right now, you might want to go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And not be up with me when I'm sewing at 4:00 in the morning, 5:00 in the morning, or whatever. You might want to go to sleep.
Yeah, so you know? Train yourself.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And then getting the parents ready to be able to handle that load, to be able to break for lunch, you know, get up in the morning, get their breakfast ready. You get what I'm saying? Let them sit down just like they would do at school. Keep some type of, it's a new normal, but it is possible for us to be able to, as parents, to transition the children well, you know, have them a break for lunch. You see what I'm saying? Have them a break for lunch and help them set a routine for them to be at home. Because, like I said, a lot of parents are not sending their children back into public school.
Right. And I would be one of those.
Yeah.
She would be me.
Oh, my God. So, okay. Good topic. Anything else you want to say on it, Miss Lily, before we go to a new topic?
No.
Do you have a topic for us to ask?
You know. No, ma'am. I don't have a topic for you as yet. I'm letting my brain wheels are rolling right now. I mean, this is a big hot thing with the COVID-19, because it's in our face.
Yeah.
I do have something. As I was speaking, I know we talk a lot about the racial tension, the climate of America, of the world right now. The other day, I was watching the news, and they actually released a video leaked out of the body cam of the police officer that of the stop with Mr. George Floyd. And so now we're starting to see what happened from the very beginning to that part that really spiked the movement of us, you know, trying to change the way that the police officers interact with our citizens, you know, especially our black citizens, and even further, our black men citizens of America. And it showed that he seemed to be very compliant. He wasn't aggressive. When they came to the door, they immediately came to the door of the car with the guns drawn. Mm. So he immediately, when he opened the door, he was, "Oh, please don't shoot me," you know. And they was telling him to put his hands on the steering wheel, and you could see him put his hands on the steering wheel, and he was gripping that steering wheel so tight because he was so afraid that he was going to be shot. And as well as he should have been afraid, you know, I mean, look at the outcome of it. And he was afraid that they was going to shoot him because they had guns drawn out. You know, you came up to the car, didn't announce nothing. You just came up there, asked him to open the door, and you have your gun drawn. Like, you know, he was somebody that y'all was, that had a warrant out. And they had been looking for him for days because he had killed, you know, 50 people in a church or something like that. This is how they came with them, came at him. They had guns. They had guns on the other side. They had a gun because, you know, it was the four officers. I know at least two of the officers had their gun drawn on both sides. So to me, they came at him like he was this person that had this warrant out there that they had been hunting for, you know, that he had killed all these people in this one area and they had been looking for this man. So how, when you think about that, and we know how people feel about him actually being, but how you feel hit him immediately knowing that his life was going to end that day, you know, because with the guns drawn, he knew he was going to die. He knew it was over for him because he immediately said, "Please don't shoot me."
Well, you know what?
My thing is, how does that make you feel differently knowing that part of it and not just the part that we have been seeing over these last few months, but now, you know, in depth that from the beginning, that he was guns being drawn. How does that make you feel differently?
Well, I don't think it makes me feel different. I think it puts even more of a of a sense of urgency on change. You see what I'm saying? Because law enforcement is supposed to protect us. So when you see that blue, when you see that uniform and they speak and the first thing that comes over you is fear. It's just like, but let's go to even when you're driving by law enforcement in your car. The first feeling that comes over you when that car pulls up next to you, and you could have insurance, you could have all of your ducks in a row. It is still a certain amount of fear, a certain amount of
unnerving.
Yes, that comes over you when you see that car. And it is not that, oh my God, it's not a, okay, hey y'all, because they protect us. You get what I'm saying? Because they're our friends. Mm-hmm. It is a keep your eyes forward. Now, I'm going to tell y'all the truth about me. I look at them.
I do too.
Because I will not give in to that. You get what I'm saying? But it's right there. It's there, you know. I've seen even my mother, you know, or my father when he was living. You know, I love you, huh? I love you, Daddy. He even, it's just a spirit. It is. When that car drives up or they're behind you, or like yesterday, I was headed somewhere and I turned on the feeder and this cop car turned on lights and rushed past me so it could run the other light, I guess. and got in front of me. It was when those lights came on, something happened to me. You get what I'm saying? Right. Because you just, I don't know. It's just associated with them.
But you know, you never really know. And that's what I tell people. So I have a master's in the administration of justice. I have an associate's in criminal justice, a bachelor's in anyway, everything criminal, 3 different degrees in criminal justice. So initially, I always loved criminal stuff. Even as a little kid, I would go sit in on court cases. I mean, I just always liked that. But when I decided to pursue, education and criminal justice, I was thinking, maybe I'm just a little over the edge when it comes to things. Hey, Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hey.
I'm just a little over the top, when it comes to things or whatever. But in my studies, I learned that things are crazy everywhere, not just in my backyard or whatever. My son just made 28 years old. When he was 18 years old in high school, he looks like a little boy, even right now. If my son could be an undercover police on the high school campus and nobody would even question. Because, he's a smaller guy. He is a little youthful face and everything. But he was coming home from a party, no ID. He didn't have his ID. That would have changed the whole situation. But he was beat up by the police. Now, what did he do? He had already passed Hershey. At that time, he had like a little 28-inch waist and weighed about 120 pounds. So, he wasn't a big guy, looking at him or whatever. And then they thought he was a child when they did what they did. But they passed searched him. Then they went to arrest him and take him to juvenile because it was after the curfew, kind of, in a way. He stopped running. So the police had to chase him, so it basically pissed him off. So there is a charge called evading arrest. And that's what he should have got. But when my son thought about it, he was like, what am I running for? And he stopped because they never would have caught him. Okay.
Yeah.
The officer came with his flashlight all upside the head and, or whatever. I mean, it was just really bad, really bad.
Wow.
And you can't say that you were in fear for your life because I don't know about y'all ladies and whoever it is that's listening. If I'm in fear for my life, you're going to have bruises under the bottom of your feet if you raise them up.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not just going to be able to concentrate on one, area or whatever. Yeah. But because his mama kind of knows how it works because that's my background or whatever, educationally, we've got background. I never worked. I was a police officer, never worked in law enforcement. But, that was some things that I knew to do. And I didn't care if they researched me because they weren't going to find them. Because I've never been arrested, nothing has ever happened. And that's another thing, too. A lot of the times, you get people in our communities that have had run-ins with the police, whether they were valid reasons or not, because they'll make you be guilty.
Yeah.
Just by them saying whatever. I have nothing to hide for, so I went right on to internal affairs.
Exactly.
Or whatever I did, because it just didn't make sense. The extent of everything or whatever. And then, you was in fear for your life. You in fear for your life and you had the opportunity and the time to just concentrate on beating him upside the head.
Jeez.
Not a bruise on his arm, his chest, his back, his stomach, nowhere else. You let me be in fear for my life and I'm going to show you what it looked like.
Huh.
Okay? I mean, really and truly, So, anyway, and I just really hate he had to go through all of that because that really changed him.
Jesus.
Put him on the gang list. Boy, never was in the top 10% of his graduating class. Or whatever. I mean, I know what the characters are a gangster, but how many gangsters are, do y'all know that are out there that are going to school every day, whose mama's active at the schools, who, the teachers can just pick up and call. How many gangsters do? That's not even the characteristics of a gangster. And if they have gangs out there where the children are performing in the top percent, 10% of the class and doing these kind of things, that's the kind of gang the kids are doing because they're doing something.
Exactly.
So no association, no kind of way. He had a bunch of tattoos. He has an older brother. And he took him to get tattoos. But I have tattoos too, but I'm not a gangster.
Mm.
You know,
me too. I just hate that. And I'm nowhere close to a gangster.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But I just hate that when Police Chief McClellan was there, girl, I was all down there at the police station. I found the pastor of my church or whatever, because, you know, he has a relationship. I was all down there, talking to them. Went with my civic club president, Travis McGee. Travis was so upset about, you know, that, because, you know, he knows my family, you know, he knows or whatever. And, you know, we went to a few things or whatever. But I think it's just really sad that we are convicted by our zip code. You know, you don't even have to be, you know, like, they look at me, people, and it's so funny because, you know, this hair, my hair is everything, you know, there's no telling what I might have it doing, flying or, you know, whatever. And people look at me and they feel a certain kind of way. But then when I open my mouth and I start speaking, you know, it's a whole little, you can kind of see people excel a little bit on the elevator.
Yeah.
You know, and I make a point to speak to people so they can see, you know, don't let the look fool you.
You know, Keisha, that's one of the things I wanted us to talk about as well, because we talk about the men that's affected by this racial profiling, but we don't dive into the women, how women are affected by it. I remember a video I saw years ago where an elderly woman was stopped on the side of the freeway. I don't know if anybody remembers it. And the police officer harassed her so much, made her get down on the ground, elderly black woman. And then I saw another video where, I remember another video where a young lady, they just beat her. I think they were punching her in the face and all kinds of stuff, you know, and I guess they thought nobody would get the video, but I know that our black men are affected heavily by this, but it's the whole black community.
It is. But, you know,
to drive that home, it's the entire black community. It's the black community as a whole that's followed around the stores. It's black women that they always look at us as an angry black woman. We gonna roll our neck, we gonna wag our finger, we gonna do all of this. They get ready for us to just come in and be, you know, it's in our entire community.
It really is, and it's sad, but so you mentioned being followed around the store. I was in Neiman Marcus years ago, I was in Neiman Marcus, and I noticed this lady following me around. So I figured maybe she was in security, maybe she was just a before her time Karen or whatever, but she did work there.
Yeah.
So everywhere I went, I noticed this lady would appear. So since she wanted to follow me around, I got her to assist me. So, and I said to her, since you're gonna follow me around anyway, it appears, you know, while somebody else is walking off with all your stuff, you know, why don't you hold this box for me? So I had like three boxes of shoes. I gave her those shoes. And I went to make it for me, girl. I said, I did. Since you're gonna follow me around anyway, you gonna help me. You gonna get my
help me.
Then you know exactly what it is that I'm doing. This lady had so much stuff in her arm. She really got like upset, but my thing is, how do you think I feel?
That's good.
You know, how do you think I feel? So I'm not, some people want to be so PC and want people to be comfortable or whatever. I don't care if you're comfortable or not, you know, when it comes to some things or whatever, because how do you think I feel being put in a position where my creative mind is real quick, you know, has to come up with something or whatever to kind of put the mirror on you to show you how you make me feel.
And you know, Keisha, when you mentioned that, I thought about when I would, is it phallus paralysis or whatever?
Phallus paralysis.
Girl, wait a minute. Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. Me and my daughter was riding off in there. It was, I think about 2 years ago. And we were walking out through there, you know, and everything. And let me tell you something. All my purse is huge. They huge.
Yeah.
You know, because I just love a big old bag. My husband said I need to really just downsize to a little pocket. Look, you know, but it ain't going to happen. So I'm walking around the store. We check out, buy everything we're going to buy, leave out. I'm in the parking lot, me and my daughter. We haven't even made it to the car. Here comes this Hispanic guy running out and says, ma'am, we need to check your purse.
Baby, you and your attorney, you your attorney and my attorney, check my purse.
I say, excuse me? Oh, ma'am, do you mind opening up your purse? We need to check your purse. I say, why? Did you lose something? And my daughter's sitting there like, I know he didn't. I say, girl, I'm like, really? Are you serious? I just bought, I think it was almost about $50 worth of stuff out of this store. And you gonna ask me, you gonna run out here and ask me, can you check my purse? Are you serious? I said, no, you can't check my purse. But what you can do is get on away from me. That's what you could do.
What you can do is refund my money. That's what you can do. What you can do, since you don't appreciate my coins, what you can do is give me my, you can check my purse and you can give me my money back. That's what you can do right now. Run me my coins.
We say, run me my money. Rita, yeah. Talk to us, girl. What's going on with you? What do you think about this topic today?
A lot, but I'm just listening right now.
Okay, cool beans.
Till I get a thumb.
Okay, all right, yeah. So, like I say, it is. Listen, racial profiling, all of this stuff that happens is affecting the whole black community. A lot of people want to know why you so mad and why you this. And I can't stand when people make that comment. Why y'all so mad? Your community wouldn't be like this if this, that, and the other. Even some of your people think that y'all this, that, and the other. But what they got to do with injustice?
Well, what you doing? What
they got to, yeah, come on.
What they got to do with nothing?
Come on.
I tell you, but this
stuff been going. Well, you have to take care of the cause of it first. You know, our communities have the problem, not because we initially, you know, did the things we did, it's because of the stuff that was done before. And this was the effect of those things being done. You know,
over time,
our communities are broken. You know, our families are broken up. You know, they didn't go into the counterparts' neighborhoods and put drugs off in it, purposely break it down. They didn't try to do that to break up a organization such as the Black Panthers because they was afraid of them. They dismembled the Black Panthers, but they didn't dismember the other group that was supposed to be, you know, actually a hate group. But they labeled the Black Panthers as a hate group because they were trying to promote self-love.
Exactly. When you're talking about the kids, they had after-school programs.
Yeah, they did. And they still do those same things. That the same group that you dismembered and said it was a hate group, you still carried on those same traditions that they had, such as the food groups. They the one who started them things, you know. You took the idea, you dismembered them, and you ran with it and act like y'all came up with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this
come
wonderful
on.
Thing, you know. So, you know, when they talk about all that kind of stuff, that's why I don't really talk about the actual result of it. You have to talk about what caused it initially. This is the result, what happened, you know, of the breaking of the Black community. And so you can't expect a community to be all, you know, not broken. Because you broke them.
You broke them
with every inch of your beans, you know? So why not take responsibility for what you did and try to help and be a solution instead of trying to continually knock them down? And, well, y'all do this and you do that. You know, you have to take care of the underlying issue first. you know, and then, you know, try to take care of the resort afterwards. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I have very strong feelings in regards to those, in regards to the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And I feel very strongly about it because these are my people, you know.
Come on.
This could be me, you know. This same poison can be passed on to my children. You know, this poison has been passed on to me. It just so happened I try to be a little bit more together, but you know, I have problems just like the next person. I have underlying issues just like the next person. You know, I just worked through that. I didn't allow it to, you know, take a effect of me where right. you know. I'm not functional, you know. I'm functioning through it, you know. So I don't know, you know. It's got to be an issue being taken care of. Miss Rita.
Go ahead, Miss Rita.
I have a question.
I see your hand. I'm
here with Miss Tammy is saying, but my question always is, in spite of what was done to us, do we find a solution to be healed? I mean, because what if they never take responsibility for their actions? But do we continue to walk as a broken community? Because if we don't find a solution to our healing, we'll continue to do the things that will harm us in spite of the people that have harmed us in the past. And it had become it did become a generational thing. So where do we stop? And sometimes I understand when something's done to you, it's a bruise. It's sometimes some people never get over it. But my question is, where do we find the solution to heal our community? I mean, because at the end of the day,
people don't see the problem. You can't have a solution if you see the problem.
And that's what I was about to say. In order for a problem to be fixed, we as a community, you know, whatever, collectively, have to really say it's a problem. Some people don't see what's going on as a problem.
But you know what? I think we're fighting as a Black community, we're fighting two battles because we're dealing with it's just like a household. You're dealing with, the mama is dealing with a rebellious son, right? But even though that son is rebellious at home and she's rearing that child or whatever, right? She's dealing with that at home, okay? But when he leaves out of that house, it's a whole nother battle, right? So what we have to do is we have to do the work at home, okay? But I'm gonna say this for those that may be watching, that have a racist mentality. I don't care how rebellious that son is at home. You don't have a right to take his life in the street. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They rebel. Now watch this. And I agree with Rita, but charity starts at home. The work starts at home. As a Black community, we need to deal with our issues within our community and you get what I'm saying? But watch this. We cannot deal with them without dealing with what's happening outside the house too. Explaining to, and hopefully a light comes on. It's just like Miss Lily said, okay? This generation dealt with it. This generation, now it's on me. Now, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna stay asleep, right? Or am I gonna, you know, my husband laughing at me because I say we could read now. So
yes,
it's a lot of
it a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of things today that we can deal with intellectually and get done intellectually if we put our minds to it. And we don't allow fear, which we really shouldn't have any, when we have the knowledge, wisdom. Come on. They say when you know better, you do better, right? But it's not, my mama used to say, whatever happens in this house stays in this house, okay? It's a lot of things that's going on in the Black community. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Our house.
That we need to deal with within the Black community. a Caucasian white man, a Hispanic man, in my opinion, has no right to say anything about what's happening in the Black community. It's like me going over into the Hispanic community and want to deal with, you get what I'm saying, judge them according to what's going on in their house.
Okay,
first. Yeah, yeah. You know, amen. we used to say, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I step outside this house, amen, and you step out your house, I'm going to treat you equally because we're all human beings. But since we don't live in that type of world, you get what I'm saying? Hello? I need to equip my son to step out the front door. A Hispanic man, and let's be real, a Hispanic man got to equip his son to step out the front door. An Asian man has to equip his son to step out the front door. Now, Caucasian, maybe not as much. Let's be real. But all of the different nationalities and races that are here in the United States have to prepare their children just to step out of the front door.
To step out forward, because, you know, I have this thing that I always say, if everybody in your house, if you've never been allowed outside your house, and everybody in your house is walking backwards, when you take that first step out, how you gonna take that step out?
How you gonna
take that step out backwards? You know,
Jesus.
So, you know, a lot of the time, and I say, or whatever, and you know, the thing was systematic or whatever, people, you know, divide and conquer. You know what I'm saying? They put it in a way to make us, Black women, feel like we didn't need the Black man. I hear women say, I don't need no man. You a lie.
Oh, I hear it.
You a lie. We might not want to deal with them. You know what I'm saying? But there's something that
we're
not supposed to do. Well, it's not that. A woman, you need somebody to be there to really, like, hold you down, pick you, you know, whatever. But they made, you know, if we were made to feel like, oh, I can do this myself. You know, okay, I probably can, but guess what? I don't want to.
Huh.
I don't want to do it myself. You know, whatever. I just don't. I don't know. It's just a lot.
You know, go ahead, Rita.
I was gonna say that may be another subject for another day. The relationship with the Black men not wanting the Black woman or vice versa.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a whole nother subject for another day, because you got now that the Black women don't want to date the Black men or marry the Black, they'd rather go outside the culture of, and vice versa. I was like, yeah. That's the stuff.
Yeah, because I got to say, oh, yeah, Rita,
we got 15 minutes.
Rita, my God. Hey, Keisha, she should have went through that over here. Keisha, you trying to cause the mess. That's okay. We're going to get it on the next one. But
yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
But I think that it was good that we got into these different aspects of it. Want to give a thanks to Miss Lily for bringing that up about George Floyd, you know, in the cam, because I haven't seen that video yet.
Oh, wow.
But,
you have to go and see it. And then did y'all
see
the
news.
Colorado? Did y'all see the one in Colorado where these police officers pulled over these, it was a car full of Black ladies, a mom, I believe, and three of her daughters. They got the look like she about five or six out there laying on the concrete with her hands down. I was so mad. Why are they on the ground? And then something about the car looked like one that was missing, but it had been recovered months before, or some kind of mess, you know, that they came up with or whatever. But when I see this little baby, the mama, the big, she was laying next to her big sister, it looked like she might have been about 9 or 10. The 5 or 6 year old, the 10 year old, the mom.
So you traumatized these babies.
So traumatized me, and I'm watching this, so I can just imagine. I'm like, what? Like my daughter used to say, "What the chicken?" You know, what is going on?
Wow, that's horrible.
And every day is something else. So my thing is, when these officers are pulling people over, it's like they don't even. It's not. It's some of the officers that were there were black women. You know, so it wasn't. You know, with some. You know. I just don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it. Okay, you might feel like this person might have just robbed a bank or did something or whatever. They still a person, so you have to deal with that personal.
Girls are
babies.
That person.
Huh? Yeah.
Did that baby go in there and rob that bank? I mean, it's these babies, so you have to use some kind of sense there. A 5-year-old kid, come on.
I don't really know how old.
I mean, you got to use something, some kind of sense. But the baby looked like she was laying there
with her hands, spread out, laying on face first on the ground. I was just done. That whole when I see stuff like that, that's not the first time that officer did something like that. So that made me remember some type of culture and or whatever. All of them need to be fired. Just go in and just fire everybody on that police force and replace. Just clean that. Let me clean the house. You know, whatever, interview and get these people or whatever. Because it's just crazy.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's just crazy. I mean, I used to be a correctional officer, and let me tell you, some of those inmates can come up with some stuff. You know what I'm saying? You go in or whatever, trying to give a benefit of a doubt or whatever, and then before, you know, about 6 to 8 months in, you'd be like, dude, you know, come on, say that again where you can hear it to see if you believe what you just said to me. You know, whatever. So, you know, you kind of get desensitized with the stuff, but never removing a human component, you know, of the person. You can't do it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we got a couple of minutes. Oh, this has been a passionate show. Awesome show. We're going to start with Rita. Rita, go ahead and sign out for us today.
Well, thank you all for joining me and today. I hope the topic was very enlightening or entertaining, whatever you think the fashion. So we will be here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Please feel free to join us next Wednesday.
All right, Miss Lily.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody, as always, for getting on with us and listening to us talk about these topics. We are always open to hear about what you have to say about these topics. You can actually go to our page and comment in and chime in on these topics of how you are feeling about it. We're here every single Wednesday, same time. We was on a different station today, but we was here on the same time. Make sure you go to my website, www.TammyMlily.com, to order my book, Why Your Refund Is So Low. This is a very, very, very important book for those who are in business. This is an educational book. This gives you some great information to be able to help you with your business, to be able to take your business to the next level, to be able to build your foundation of your business, first and foremost. So you definitely want to build a foundation of your book, of your business. So this is one of the greatest purchases that you can make for your business, and that is knowledge. Knowledge is power. So have the power. Get that book.
All right, Ms. Robertson. Wait. I'm going to say it right. Robertson.
My ain't it say When I thought about it, I had to tell her ain't it. She just pronounced it like I do because I just hate to see that T in my last name.
But yeah, I'm not trying to get in no more trouble.
I know, hon. I done took you right there. Ask me. I just want to thank everybody for joining. I love this new platform, Queenie. It's really, you know, it's really nice. I like this today. So see you next week, 10 a.m., Sisters United page, and we can talk about some hot topics. Feel free to drop in on the Sisters United page or inbox Queenie or me or Tammy or Rita. If you have any questions, if you have any comments or whatever, I'd love to bring back the comments or questions that you might have about some of the things that we discussed.
Well, this is Queenie. I love you. And we out. I'll see you next week. Oh, and we will be uploading this to Blog Talk Radio. The show will be posting on our podcast in about an hour. So we'll talk to you later. God bless.
All right.
All right. Be blessed.